bless you. Welcome to the house of the Lord. It's good to see each one of you. It's good to see Sister Pansy back with us today.
Amen.
The card up here was this from today, Sister? I didn't know if it was how long we had been up here, but it says, thank the Lord for my healing and all my brothers and sisters for your prayers. May God bless each of you, Sister Pansy.
Amen.
And let's just give the Lord an applause for the Lord is faithful to do what he said he would do, right?
Amen.
And so we can trust him in that. Let's let the musicians go ahead and go to their seats. And don't want to keep you standing a long, long time, but the Lord is good to us. Want to just make the one announcement, and that is next weekend, Brother Bo, actually his name is Eddie Paul Smeaton, but they call him Brother Bo, will be with us. That'll be Saturday night at 6 p.m. and also Sunday morning at our normal service time. So we want to be in prayer for that service. And he's actually coming over on Friday afternoon, and he was hoping to have breakfast with some of us on Saturday morning. I don't know if anybody will be able to make that, but we certainly want to open that opportunity to anyone, to the brothers, or I think that most people, but I think Brother Danny, you have to work on Saturday, so anyway, but I wanted to place that out there, but he's looking forward to coming, and we're looking forward to having him with us, and so just ask that you be praying about that service. Amen. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles. We're going to begin reading in Mark chapter 11. And today I want to talk to you about perfect faith. That's a big subject, isn't it?
Yeah.
Perfect faith. Mark chapter 11, we'll begin reading in verse 22. Brother Branham, I will tell you, he preached a sermon called Perfect Faith, and this is the scripture that he used there. And so I'm not afraid to use the same scripture on the same subject. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to read verse 1 and also verse 6. These are all familiar scriptures to us. Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. Verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This is about hearts to him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we just want to lift up praises to your holy name. Lord, just to testify that it is you and none other. Lord, of all the great men and great people that have ever risen on this earth, Lord, none of them could do what you have been able to do. And Lord, that places you in a category to yourself to receive the praise and the worship and the honor and adoration of all the peoples of this world. And Lord, though there's many that don't give praise and honor to you this morning, we want to recognize you in all things and to just send to you, Lord, the thank yous that belong to you as we come to the service this morning. Lord, we know that this is your word, and Lord, it's your anointing. Your spirit is the one that holds the key of how these things can be unlocked to our hearts. And so, Lord, as your people, as a needy people, we come before you this morning. We just surrender ourselves to you. I surrender myself to you, Lord, that you would be able to use me and speak through me. Lord, that each one of us today, that the faith that comes from your word, Lord, would be rich in our hearts as we go forward. Lord, we would be able to be more equipped to meet the challenges of the day and what's before us. We ask, God, that you'd help us this morning. We pray that you touch each one in their bodies, Lord, in their spirits, in their minds. And if there's anything that hinders this morning, Lord, we just pray that it would be driven back now. And Lord, by your spirit and by the ministry of your word, that your people truly can sit in heavenly places this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And you can be seated. Perfect faith. I may want to have perfect faith. I know I do. The scripture tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing obviously by the word of God. And you know, there are so many voices, there are so many noises out here today, and so many voices. Everybody's got their own idea, everybody's got their own opinion, everybody wants to say, well, this is what I think it means. But I really still believe that the word of God, the key to the word of God is that he's the one that vindicates his word by bringing it to pass. And so there's all these voices, and most of these, I'll go ahead and tell you that though they might be religious, they are religious in nature, which most, if not all of them, are religious in nature. There are voices of unbelief. Amen?
Yeah.
There are voices of unbelief because the scripture said the word of God, right? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. It's not talking about somebody else's word.
Right.
But faith cometh by God's word. And so if we come up with something else other than God's word and you listen to that and it has its influence on you, what does it bring? It doesn't bring faith.
Right.
So it'll bring unbelief. It'll bring confusion. And we know God is not the author of confusion, but Satan sure takes advantage of that and using it because he is the author of confusion. And so I said most of these voices out there, you know, that wants to have your ear, they are religious in nature, you know, I mean, you can worship in all kinds of ways. God is the one that should receive worship, and people can worship their cars, they can worship their families, they can worship their favorite ball team, they can worship money. You know, you can worship your spouse, right? But true worship, and the worship should go to God. And so everybody's got their own idea, their own opinion. Everybody's sold out to something. Right? And that something that you're sold out to is your God. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right?
And so you're sold out to something and you say, well, I'm not, you know, I don't have a false God or whatever. What do you spend your time doing whenever you're not busy working or something? What do you default to?
Right.
And so, not that I want to go down that avenue, but the point is that most everything that influences us has some sort of worship related to it, or has some agenda that is translates into some form of worship. And so, but the thing I'm trying to get to here is that all these voices out there that want to influence you, and there are just millions of them, right? There's broad is the pathway that leads to destruction, but there's a very narrow way that leads to life, and that's the word of God, and that's what we want to hear, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, not by all this stuff, but that narrow channel of the voice of God, that's where faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And so all this other stuff, just a barrage of voices and the effect of humanity on us is like a bunch of static. How many's ever, I know years ago, I don't know that it's this way now, but years ago with radio or whatever it might be, television, we had to contend with static a lot of times. If you didn't have a good signal, you had more static than you had anything, you couldn't hardly hear what it is you wanted to hear.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is. It's a lot of static, a lot of noise. We have to deal with it at work all the time, and we're measuring all kinds of parameters, all kinds of things, speed and torque and temperature. And in all of those measurements, we have to contend with noise.
Yeah.
And sometimes the noise is so great, you can't tell what the real thing is you're looking for. So you have to come up with creative ways to try and filter out and make a way so you can catch that real signal and not listen to the noise, so you can know the truth of what's going on. We deal with it all the time at work, and we deal with it as Christians. That we've got to seek out ways to filter out and get rid of things. And, you know, God has a filter. It's his very word. but to filter out the things that are not of God so that we can tune into the Word of God, so that that Word that we hear will bring faith to our hearts, bring faith into our experience.
Yeah.
And I believe here at the end time we have a great responsibility, because here at the end time we know that God has promised us a rapture.
Yeah.
Absolutely. A change of our bodies. And you know it's been said this way many times, both by Brother Branham and other ministers. You know that this is a faith, the greatest faith of this hour. We've got to have faith to have a body change. So we've got to have enough tuned in-ness to the Word of God that the Word can create that kind of faith in our hearts that we can receive a body change. So it's a great... It's not an hour of slackness. It's an hour where the faith in what God's Word is going to be magnificent and do just like it always has. But it's a great hour because of what lays before us. And it's a great hour because of the promise He's given us in this hour when things are going chaotic. He's given us the promise of a great escape. So we want to get into the channel of inspiration to be tuned into His Word, put all this other racket and noise out, so we can focus in on the Word of God, that it would bring to us rapturing faith.
Amen.
Perfect faith here at the end time. Now, Brother Branham talks about this. We read it there in the scriptures, that faith is a substance. And he said, you know, a lot of people think that faith is just something you imagine. Well, it's just, you know, you just try it, I'm gonna have it, and you know, you just try to work it up, and you try to think it, well, I'm gonna have. He said, no, that's not it at all. He said, faith is actually a substance. And the scripture says it, we read it.
Right.
Yes, it's a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen.
Right.
So now I know you can't see faith, but if for some reason you could see it, and this is it. Well, whatever this being faith, and you can see it. If you can see that, then you know the object that that faith is pointing to is real.
Yeah, right.
Because there's your evidence. Mm-hmm. Right? There's the evidence of things not seen. So Brother Ben was saying is that it's not just a thought that you have. It's not just a kind of, well, I'm trying to, I believe I've got it. He said, no, it's an evidence. It's something that when it strikes you, you know you have it. You know that you have it, and therefore you know that that thing that's invisible, you've got it. It's just as good as done. Just like he said, I could give you an oak tree. I say, I'm going to give you an oak tree, and I give you an acre.
Yeah.
Well, the potential of that oak tree is right there, and you know that if you go plant it, you'll have your oak tree. So faith, if it's there, it's going to produce what it said. And so it is a substance. It's not something fictitious. It's something real that takes place, and it's real to you.
Yeah.
And you may not be able to show anybody else and prove it to them, but to you, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is the way it is. Mm-hmm. So it's real. It's a substance to you. You're holding it. You've got it in your hand.
Right.
See? So you don't have to question that. And so I'm going to took my coat off too soon. I'm going to have a demonstration again. It's always nice to have demonstrations. They're always fun, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to get Brother Daniel to come up if he don't mind. I hope I can make this work out okay. He'll come right here and stand and face the people. Sister Vicki, I'm going to give something to you. Sister Vicki has come before the prayer line, and Brother Daniel is the prophet. Okay? And she's got things on her heart. All right? And she needs faith. She needs the Word of God to speak to her and to cause her to have faith enough to receive what she has need of, right? Now, Brother Daniel, in this case, is the prophet, and I'm gonna act like God. Just bear with me. But I'm going to act like God, and this is my prophet, and I'm going to speak to him. And if it works the way it's supposed to, as I speak to him, through a gift that you can't see, you can't hear, you don't, and this hasn't been rehearsed, so I hope it works, but you can't hear, but through that gift, he should be able to tell her the four things that she has on her heart. And Sister Vicki, you see how this works, okay? So she's got four things on her heart. Now,
I'm not going to show Brother Daniel what's written on that card. This is her prayer card, okay? But Brother Daniel is God's prophet, and he's gonna reveal to her. And so now as I begin to speak to him, and you don't see anything about what? Sister Vicki, was that right? The first thing on your heart, was that correct? Did he read it right? Did he correct?
He didn't. He read it backwards.
So this is not working. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh, no. Did you want him to read it that way?
No, I... Okay. I heard him say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, so she didn't. Okay, so this is not working, but you get the point. That God can speak through someone, and you don't necessarily see it, but he did. Was it real to him? Right? Right? God can be speaking to him now. Right? Did you see anything? Did you hear anything? But he did. And that's the way faith works. It's not through sight. It's not through smell. It's not through hearing, right? Now, you understand that I was using my fingers to tell him what I wanted him to say. But the point is there is that when a person is in channel with God, God can speak to that person, give them faith, give them what they need pertaining to that promise, and it's just as real to that person as anything.
Right.
It's more real than touch, taste, see, smell, or hear.
Amen.
And so if it's a person who has a special gift like Brother Branham had, then that gift can bring forth to the other people. But what about if it's just you, and you need faith in your heart, and God speaks to you, and you know that you hear it, you know that he's dropped something in your heart, and there... It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, and it doesn't matter what touch, taste, see, smell, or hear says. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because faith is not touch, taste, see, smell, and hear. Mm-hmm. So here's touch, taste, see, smell, and hear, and over here is faith. And if you need something from God, this is where it's at. Right? So if it's from this realm right here where faith is, we don't go over here and say, well, what does the flesh say? What does the touch, the taste, the see, smell, and hear? We don't even go there and consult. It has nothing to do with it. It's not in the formula of how this works. Because faith is a different realm. It's not coming from the touch, taste, see, smell, and hear. Okay, so Brother Ram said it's just as real as the five senses. Because it's something that is absolutely a substance. So how do you know that you have it? How do you know? Well, because your sense of faith tells you that it's so.
Right.
And as the scripture said, when you have that, then you have that substance. Even if others do not see it. I've seen it happen several times. My wife has had something strike her several times, 2 or 3 times that I've seen. You know, and it's just something that happens. And I know as soon as I see it, I know what's going to take place. And so sometimes maybe it doesn't work that way for me. You know, maybe you don't see a whole countenance come over me. But I've seen it with her on a couple of occasions, 2 or 3 times. And after you see it for a while, then when it happens, then you know. It's just like I told you about a person reaching across the table and touching my lip that had a canker sore in there that I'd been fighting for 2 or 3 weeks and had medicine and wasn't even doing any good. And I was complaining about it, and they said, where is it? Reached over and touched their finger against it like that. When they pulled their finger away, my lip was numb. And within just a couple days, it was gone. And that person had a look in their eye that I saw that was, they dropped into a channel of inspiration. And that person, years later, had something else happen that they came to, had me come to them and had that look in their eye and actually told me to ask for a sign. And I saw that. And this is, saints, this is what was going through my mind when they said, ask for a sign, because they were telling me something that was contrary to the word. But they said, now that you might know this is right, I want you to ask for a sign. Mm-hmm. Ask for a sign. And I said, what do you mean? They said, if you want lightning to strike that tree right there, you speak it. And if you want a whirlwind to come down off the mountain and go right across the yard, speak it. And I thought to myself, I said, I've seen that look in your eye before. And I'm not about to speak anything, because I seen that before, and you'll produce it. And if you produce a whirlwind or a lightning strike or whatever I say, then I'm going to have to contend with the devil telling me, see, he was able to produce it. Have you been able to do that?
Yeah.
And try to make me to battle with me and make me try to believe what he was trying to tell me, which I knew was contrary to the message.
Yeah.
And so I said to him, I said, well, you know, I'm just not, whatever. I don't remember how I said it, but I'm not going to say nothing. So he decided he was going to pray for me. And so he puts his hand on me, starts praying for me. And in his prayer, he says, now, God, I'm going to stop and just for a moment in my prayer and pause just for a moment and give you just a moment to speak. And he raised back like this from saying that, and boom, one of the loudest claps of thunder. It shook the ground and it rolled and rolled. It seemed like for 15 seconds I could hear it rolling through the mountains, because it was up in the mountains, until it finally faded away. And he looked at me and says, what do you think about that? And I thought, oh, I'll tell you what I thought. The Pentecostals would take this hook, line, and sinker. That's what I thought. That's exactly what I thought. I said, you know, and I'm thinking, Lord, what do you want me to say when all this is transpiring? I'm searching my heart. Lord, what do you want me to say? Because I know this is not right. And so I just said, well, he said, what do you think about that? And I said, well, we're taught not to seek after signs and wonders. Now, signs and wonders do follow the believers, right? But not to seek after them. And so I didn't really get off on that tangent there. But faith is a channel that you drop into.
Right.
And I've seen that. I've seen it. And, you know, some people, Brother Brent said, I've seen saints and women come across the platform and not get their healing, and prostitutes come across the platform and get their healing.
Yep.
Because faith lays hold on those things. And I'm not endorsing that kind of thing of improper living. I'm just saying that if faith is the channel, and if you drop into it, God will honor it. And so, even if somebody doesn't see it, it's real to you. We must believe, Brother Brent said, we must believe that this is God's word. And we read it in the scriptures. You have to believe that God is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So do you believe that God is? Do you believe that he is God? Right? Do you believe this is his word? And then so if you believe that he is God, you believe that he is, and you know he's God, then are you seeking him?
Yeah.
Because if you believe that he's God and you believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, if you want to be rewarded, you're going to be seeking him. And I'll be honest with you, I want him to reward me. Not that I want to be some big person, but I would like for him to give me his eternal life and allow me to be in his presence throughout eternity.
Amen.
I want that reward. I don't have to be any great anybody, but I do want to be there in that blessed kingdom and be partakers of his presence and living in that kingdom of light where there is no evil. I do. And the thing of it is if we truly believe him, that he will reward those that seek him, then we will be seeking him. Right? And so the scripture says that without faith, it's impossible to please him. So we can't even please God until we get out of touch, taste, see, smell, and hear, and get over to that place where we don't even look at that. And when we get away from the touch, taste, see, smell, hear, and get into the faith, now we're in a realm where we can please God, because the whole kingdom is built upon that concept right there. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. So we have to believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we have to believe that this is the word of God. And then if it is the Word of God, then we have to seek Him through the channels that He gives us. If we need healing, He's got a channel for that. If we need salvation, He has a channel for that. Whatever we have need of, God has a channel for that, a way that He has extended that blessing and that promise to you pertaining to that, and that's the channel we have to approach Him in. So all these scriptures, you know, Brother Rim said that our life as a Christian, see, it will punctuate every word of God with an amen. Now, I'm not talking about that you never make a mistake,
right,
but the life that's in you,
agrees
with the Word, wants the Word to have preeminence, and no matter how many times you fall short, you want God, and if you had your way according to your heart, you'd never make a mistake, and the Word of God would be glorified 24-7.
Yeah.
See? So, the life that's in us punctuates the Word of God with an amen. Every Word of God with an amen. So every word that says, here's the channel for healing, here's the channel for salvation, here's the channel for body change, then the life that's in us, if it's of God, says, amen, 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 to every channel of every word. So when we find in the scriptures here, you know, every scripture is the same, but this passage of scripture we just read there a minute ago in Mark chapter 11, this is one of those channels, and it's a channel that's especially for us here at the end time. It's a channel, and it's the one where he says that you shall have whatsoever you sayeth. We read it just a minute ago. If you believe in your heart, you'll have what you say. And when you pray, believe, and you'll have it. And the thing of it is here is it's saying whatsoever you say, whatsoever you desire, what you believe. Not what God gives you by vision, not what God speaks or whatever, but what's in your heart, what you believe, what you desire. If you can believe those things, you will have them. And Brother Branham was stumped about that. You know, he was just like, I just don't understand. How can that be? And you remember that's when he was in the woods and the Lord came to him and spoke to him about the squirrels. He said that scripture is just like the rest of the scriptures. It's true. It's absolutely true. And I won't rehearse through all that just to save time. But those squirrels were created based upon this right here, this that we're talking about. That if he believes in his heart, no matter what he says, then God will bring that to pass. And I was reading where Brother Wayne was saying that no matter what Jesus said, God saw to it that it would come to pass. So we'll get into that just a little bit more here in just a moment. So, when you, whatsoever you say, then you believe and it'll happen. When you pray, believe and you shall have it. And this scripture is like all the rest of them. It's true. And this scripture has to be fulfilled in us just like all other scriptures, right? Has to be fulfilled in us. And it's already been identified to us. You say, well, how do I know it's for me? How do I know it's for you? Well, because God sent a prophet in our day, and that prophet, he identified this in that prophet's life in our presence. He is bringing this to the forefront for you and I to know that we live in an hour that God wants us to be able to believe and know and ask and it be given.
Yeah.
And so that's why it was placed before us. It's already been identified with the squirrels that were created. So, when you talk about this, this is an example of perfect faith. This Brother Branham being able to do that, or however you want to say it, but this scripture here, that whatsoever you say, when you believe, you'll have it. And to believe, when you're praying, to believe and you shall have it. This is a good example of perfect faith, a faith that is a substance faith. Like Brother Branham said, it's a substance, it's a reality. It's that kind of faith. But I want to ask you a question. What is this based upon? If God is now telling us, and he's identified to the prophet of this age, God's voice to this age has told you and I that if we believe and we ask and we believe that the thing that we've asked for and the scripture said, we can have it. And it's been demonstrated in our presence today so that we'll know that it's for us.
Yeah.
So what is it based upon? If God tells you that if you believe in your heart, you can ask for something, and it's going to happen, how's that work? What's that based upon? Is it based upon your merits? Is it based upon your character? And I think we'd all have to say, no, it's not based upon our character. How could it be based upon our character? How could it be based upon our merits? We have none. All of our righteousness is filthy rags. Can you imagine us trying to go to God and say, based upon our merits, we deserve to be able to speak something and it happened? That's not the way it works. So it's not based upon our character, but yet he's told us that we can have it. He's told us that it belongs to us, specifically this generation, because it's been identified by a major prophet being this day.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, not just anybody can do this. Not just anybody has access to this. Because remember, Brother Ram tells us that life is a sacred thing to God, and he writes it in a book, and he's just not going to share it with anybody, right? He's not just going to pour out all the deep things. He's going to hide these things from the wise and prudent, but he will reveal it to babes. So there's a certain channel. And when I said that this scripture has to be fulfilled in our lives, this is what I'm talking about. We want to get all the static out of the way and find that channel where this scripture can become alive to us today. That we could ask what we need, what we will, and it shall be given. And that's what we want. And so, it's not based upon our character, it's not based upon our merits, but it is based upon God's character and on God's merits. It's based upon who he is and what he's all about and the promises that he has given to us. So once you believe, God has committed promises to us, once you believe the word of God, once you believe his word, and to believe who he is and what he is, because remember we said, if you believe, you have to believe that God is and he's a rewarder of them. So that you believe his word and you believe what he's done for you, and that he cannot fail, right? He cannot fail. He cannot lie. Then it should cause us to love him, right? It should cause us to love him. I'm going to read some quotes here. This is going fast this morning, so we'll probably get out early unless the Lord changes and does something different. But perfect faith. Brother Bram says, if God, when I was an alien from him, so loved me till he stooped down to get me and pick me up, that gives me confidence that he wants to use me.
Yeah.
Think about this. He's got a purpose of doing it. He's seen something in me, and he sees something in you. He had a reason for saving you, and he said, look at the people that's unsaved today. And I want you to think about this. Look at the millions he could have saved or could have took beside you, but he took you. Think about it. You could be a lot of different places than you would be in the house of God this morning. No one can take your place. Amen?
Amen?
You're in God's economy. Now think about it. God has got you out from the world, and he's got you in the house of God this morning listening to the word of God.
Yeah.
There's millions up on top of millions that are out there that he could have chose instead of you. But he didn't choose them. He chose you because he's got purpose for your life.
Amen.
And Satan wants you to think there is no purpose. So he says you are in God's economy. You're inside what God's doing. God's got an economy, and this is the way things work, and this goes over here just like our economy, and he's got you inside his economy, and you play a part in that economy, and there's nothing you can do to get out of that part of that economy. You can't get out of any of it. So you're in God's economy, and no one can do it. He's talking about besides you. And he says, that's his love to you. You're going to say that proof of his love is in his election. It's in the beloved, right? It's in the fact that he singled you out and he's called you and placed this upon you. So he said, that's his love to you. And he said, then won't your love reach right back to him? When you see what he's done for you and you see that he has picked you out of millions and has blessed you with the words of eternal life, has got you in his economy instead of letting you drift off out there headed to a crisis grave. When you see that he's done that, and that he, what he's done for you, that he cannot lie and he cannot fail, and that he's got you inside his promises, then wouldn't that make you love him? And this is what Brother Bram was saying. Then wouldn't your love reach right back to him? And there's a love affair. No matter what the situation is, its circumstances is governed by this love that creates faith. Because you know the scripture says faith which worketh by love. So he says, God has done this, picked you, and now you see what he's done, and now you are in love with him because you have seen how he has taken you to himself. It creates the love, and now you're in this love affair. And no matter what the situation is, I don't care what it is, whether you're financial hardship or you're sick in your body or the kids are running crazy and you can't seem to get them to quiet down or whatever it might be, you fill in the blank for yourself. But no matter what that situation is, it is its circumstances, the circumstances of that situation is governed by this love that creates faith. Now remember last week I ended by saying, what shall separate us from the love of God that in Christ Jesus? Is there anything that separates us? No, so this love has taken the initiative. This love has taken over, and this love creates faith, but this love has got you bound up in his economy, and he's not going to let you go because he loves you. He's pulled you out from the world, and he loves you, and he's not going to let you go. And so everything of all your circumstances are governed. You know what a governor is? You used to have a governor on these little engines like a go-kart or whatever, and we'd always want them to go faster. But you couldn't go faster because the governor was on there. So you want to take the governor off so you can go faster.
Yeah.
But you know what? There's a lot of people died because they took the governor off.
That's right.
But we need a governor, and so he's saying here that no matter what the situation is, it's governed by this love. So it can't get away from God's purpose in this. And so, it's governed by this love which creates faith that God loves you, and you love God, and you love one another. He threw that in there. And it brings faith. And then it can't keep from bringing out just exactly what God promised it would do. So Brother Ram is telling us that because of this, it can't do anything else. It must bring out what God said it would bring out, what God said it would do. And so we're thankful for that. So when you see that he's done these things for you, it should create a love for him, a true love. And the scripture said, if we'll read it in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, if she wants to put that up there, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Now think about this. Neither circumcision, nor uncircumcision. Neither one of those avail anything with God. If you want to have preeminence or to avail with God, you want to get his attention, you want him to look on your situation, for him to look and nod or speak concerning your situation you're going through, it's not circumcision, it's not uncircumcision, it's not the fact that a person is a Jew physically, it's not a fact that one is a Gentile, has nothing to do with that, has nothing to do with that, but what does it have to do with? It has to do with faith. If you want to get God's attention, have faith.
Amen.
If you want to get God's attention, don't pay attention to touch, taste, see, smell, or hear. Because that's what we always have to deal with so much. You get up, you got a pain in your body, you got an ache, or you got something going on. So in order to please God, you have to have faith, get away from those grounds. And if you want to get God's attention, start having faith. And what does that mean? Start looking to his promise of what he said and start acting upon that, and you'll get God's attention. But that faith works by love. So if you don't really love, remember the other day I talked about this, you can take it down if you want. I talked the other day about how that first church age, what they do, they left their first love.
Right.
And because they, supposed to be the bride of Christ, left their first love, they didn't stay in love with the Word, stay in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. When the second age come along, when things started to get hard, bitterness started to set in. They started to despise the fact that they had to wash the clothes every day and take care of the kids every day. Why? Because they had lost that love for their mate.
Yeah.
So they begin to despise the burden that goes with that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But if we suffer with him, we'll reign with him.
Mm-hmm.
So and if we don't have the proper love with him, We're not going to have the proper attitude toward the trials and the things that come our way.
Yeah.
And it's important that we have the right attitude. Because the scriptures tell us, Brother Wynn was talking about, he said, these trials that come our way, they're more precious than fine gold or silver. Right? They're more precious than any of that. That God, that you're being identified with He who was rejected, and you're being rejected. So that these tribulations come your way and you're persecuted by the, because of the word of God or whatever it is, that you're identified with Him, that's more precious than any gold or silver you could ever have here on earth. Why? Because that is speaking of a treasure that comes to you in heaven, of eternal life, to be identified with Him who is eternal life and not someone else.
Right.
So, this is not based upon our merits and anything like that, but it's based upon faith, which worketh by love. Not because of, now you can look at this and say, well, because the Jews thought, well, you've got to be circumcised, and we're the God's choice because we're circumcised, and it wasn't that at all. And then Gentiles are going to come and say, well, God's taken us by faith, you know, or whatever way, and we don't, it has nothing to do with it. It has to do with faith, but that faith works by love, and if you don't have the proper love, you're not going to have the faith.
Yeah.
Now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, but it works by love. So you see, the only place that this truly can really come to fruition, the way I'm looking at it, is in that love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only way that it can actually come to what it needs to be. Brother Ram said that you love Him, that you really love Him. And this would be one sometimes a preacher has to say stuff that he doesn't like to say, but it's the truth, so he says it anyway.
Amen.
But I'll just have to say that some things this morning that's exactly true. Brother Ram said it this way. He said that you really love Him.
Yeah.
That you really love the Lord Jesus Christ. You love He who is the Word. But he said it like this. He said, not that you're just trying I forget the way he said it exactly. Not that you're just trying to dodge hell.
Yeah.
Right? Not that you're just wanting to dodge hell, or you're wanting to be blessed, or you want to have, but that you love Him. You know, because it's a pretty much kind of a thing that most or a lot of prisoners, when they get caught and they go to jail, they get religious all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Is that real faith? Well, I know it could be. But most of the time, they're just doing that, trying to appease God because they want to get out of prison.
Yeah.
So they want to bypass where He said, you're going to reap what you sow, and they want to bypass the reaping of what they've sowed. That's not real love. Real love, the real love, commits yourself to the relationship no matter what happens. That's what true love is. And you commit yourself to Jesus Christ and the fact that He was persecuted. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to have tribulation. The devil's going to ride your back all the days of your life trying to find a place to make you fall. And if you really love the Lord, you'll embrace that happily. But if you don't love Him, you'll become bitter and begin to not like it and so forth. But you see, so if you really love Him, even in the midst of trial, faith prevails.
Right.
Why? Because you love Him. And you're not just trying to avoid hell and trying to get blessed for something, that you're saying, Lord, I'll commit myself to You. It ain't gonna make any difference what You do with me in this life. I'm serving You. I'm going to give glory to Your name no matter what. That's the way it works. So true love is not a love that's just trying to dodge hell. It actually loves Him. Brother Brim said it's a love affair where you love Him and He loves you and you love Him. And when that happens, when people fall in love, they go into a secret relationship. They go into a secret place. Now we're speaking of rapture now. Hide me in the secret of His pavilion, and this is for His bride only. She enters into a place that nobody else goes. She enters into a relationship and a fellowship. In other words, she enters into a realm of faith that nobody else gets to have. Because she has dropped into a channel of inspiration where she is intimate with that channel of the word, which brings faith in a channel in a way that nobody else is intimate with that word. And that creates a faith within her that only she's going to have access to. And this is what we're talking about, perfect faith. She gets into that channel because of the election of God, because she walked along just like me or you walked along in Pentecost, not knowing which way is up, subject to all of the false stuff that they were telling you. And in the midst of all that, God come down and said, I'm going to take you out of that, and I'm going to bring you over here and set you down in my truth.
Yeah.
And put us all into a movement that's going to change our bodies. Raised us up in a place where we're hearing this and hearing this kind of word today rather than saying prayers. Somebody is talking to a young man the other day, and he said, would you say a prayer for me? And I said, no, I won't say a prayer for you. I'll pray with you, or I'll pray for you, but I'm not going to say a prayer. I said, Catholics say prayers, right? We don't say prayers, we pray.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
We don't go through some form of formality like some fictitious, imaginary God. We know him. We've made connection with him. We talk to him. We pray to him. Bring our circumstances to him because he's real. We don't just act like he's somebody hanging on the wall somewhere. You think about how I would feel if my wife treated me like I was just something hanging on the wall. No, when she comes to me, I'm a person, and I can go to her. She's a person.
Right.
So we pray. We don't say prayers. We pray. It's a lot more personable that way. And you enter into this secret place. Brother Brim says this, it's still in perfect faith. He said, now this is rather lengthy, so you, and it's kind of hard to read, so you bear with me. He said, Jesus lived in a world that no one knew about. He was an odd person, and he lived in a world of perfect faith in the perfect God, which he was. And if we live in perfect faith as a Christian to what we are, we'd be a mystic to the world. The people wouldn't understand it. You'd walk in the Spirit, and what the Spirit said you'd do, and what the Spirit, what it forbid, you wouldn't do. Then the people would begin to say, and they, well, and you'd be a mystic to them. That's the way it is with all believers. They're a mystic. The people don't understand because they live in a world to themselves. And Jesus lived in a world that nobody else could touch, and his disciples couldn't understand him. When he spoke to them, and they'd say this, and they'd say, and then they'd say, why you? And you talk in riddles. We don't understand. How can this be? See, they wasn't in the world. They wasn't in the world that he lived in. See, they couldn't understand him, and nobody could understand him. And so when a man lives by faith, and he walks by faith, and I mean substance faith, he is isolated from the entire world and becomes a new creature in Christ. Now you're getting to bride material. This is what I want to come to here. That a Christian, when they walk with God, when they actually come into this relationship where we just talked about where faith worketh by love, and you see what he's done, and you enter into love with him, now you enter into a secret place with you and him. It's a world different than the rest of the world. They don't understand you. Don't worry about whether they understand you. But now you're a mystic to the world because you're closed in with Christ Jesus. And what the Spirit says do, you do. What the Spirit says don't do, you don't do.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
That's what he's saying. And he said, but now you're coming into bride material. When you enter into this, what we're talking about, this is bride, right? Not just somebody wanting to dodge hell, but a church that loves the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the one who's entering. This is bride material. We're getting on the ground where we're talking about the bride of Christ. When we talk about somebody that loves him and through thick or thin will stay with him no matter what comes their way. Not ashamed to be associated with the gospel of Christ.
Right.
So now you're coming into bride material, you see, and you're getting into rapture condition now. That's what he said. So this is what it all pertains to. We're not going to be in rapture position going along and all worried about the world and constantly looking at the five senses, whatever. It's a people who drop into the channel of faith produced by the Word of God and by the love of God and the love of God in our heart toward Him. That when we drop into that and we walk in that, now you're talking about something that can be raptured.
Yeah.
Now you're talking about something that is bride material. Brother Ben said, that means for each one of us, not just pastor, deacons, trustee, it means for the laity. Every individual walks in a world with God alone. You're baptized into His kingdom, and there's nobody in there but you and God. Now, this is the way it is. I love you folks, and I know that you love each other, and I hope you love me. But nevertheless, your walk with God is between you and God alone. And yet, you can walk with your brothers and sisters. You understand what I'm saying? But each one of us have that requirement. God cannot let somebody in as a grandchild. Every one of us have to have that experience where Jesus Christ is revealed to us. We know who He is. We find out that He's right. He can't fail. He's always correct. And He's got His hand on me. He snatched me from the world and from the sins. And now I'm His child. I'm blessed by Him. And I love Him because of that. And I enter into this relationship where I walk with Him every day. He's who I walk with, not somebody else. He's the one who governs all my life and all my actions.
Amen.
And the closer I get to rapture morning, the closer I walk with Him. Okay? So, nobody in there but you and God. He gives the orders and you pack them out. Think about that. Whatever He says, there's not a shadow of doubt nowhere. You walk right on. If the Lord says this, there's nobody in the world can talk you out of it. You go right on just the same. Now you're coming into perfect faith. Perfect perfection that cannot fail. That faith never fails. Yes, He was a mystic to them with His perfect faith, and so is it now in those who have perfect faith. You're a mystic to others. So the bride of Christ will be a mystery to the world. But it's only because they are walking with Him, and no matter what He says, when He says it, we go with it. We don't question it. We don't worry about it. He said it, and I know. I went through it the last couple weeks. I've had pains in my body that I wondered what in the world was going on. But I said, Lord, I thank You for healing me. And it's a place where we come, where we worship Him, we love Him. And if He says, you know what, we got to do this, then we're going to do it. And if He says, we're not going to do that, then we're not going to do that. He gives the orders and we go with it. And if He says that we need this building, we're going to have this building. And if He says we're going to have something else, we're going to have something else, no matter what we want, right? We're going to do what He wants.
Right.
And as an individual, we're going to do that. We're going to take what He says, and if He says I'm going to prosper and always have a good job, I'll always prosper and have a good job, we're going to go with that. I might want to go some other route. I might want to go full-time evangelist or something like that. But if He says, no, you're going to stay right here, through this channel I open you, then I'm going to stay there. Even if I don't understand.
Right.
The same way we do.
Right.
No matter what He says, we're going to stick with Him through thick or thin because we love Him. We have found that He's always right.
Amen.
His truth is always right. What are we doing? Right now, we're bowing our knee to Him right now. We're confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
Right now.
Amen.
I want to do it now, not then. I'm not doing it now to avoid them. I'm doing it now because I have found Him to be true. I have tasted of the Lord, and I see that He's good. Even when He says no, it's good. Because I can look back a few days later, and I can say, thank You, Lord. Thank You for not letting me have what I wanted. Because it would have destroyed me. We don't have that insight that He has. He's our shepherd, so we let Him speak to us. We let Him lead us and guide us. And we surrender to Him. Do you realize that God can't be glorified in the unrighteous? Think about that. Well, you can say, well, He could be, yeah. He can be glorified in Pharaoh. You know, But let me explain what I mean. There's only one healer, right? And you go to the doctor, and the doctor sets the bone, or he gives you a medicine, and the doctor's not a healer. He just does things that helps that science has figured out, that God, through his mercy, has allowed them to discover, because there's things they haven't discovered. But he allows them to discover that if you take this medicine while you've got an infection of bacteria, that you can, it'll kill it. But they're not healers. God is the healer. And so you got a believer and you got an unbeliever. They both get a sickness. They both go to the doctor. The believer takes the medicine. The unbeliever takes the medicine. They both get well. And the unbeliever goes down the road and never thanks God for nothing. But the believer does. The believer knows that God is in control of all these things, and his whole life is to continually give glory to God and say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for taking care of me this day." It's one thing I always liked about Brother McGill down there in Mexico. That brother, I don't care, but when we get up and we go get in his car, he will pray before he ever starts that engine. Every day. Because down there, he knows he needs it. But you know what? We need it up here too. We just don't know it as much as he knows it. But we need that God's protection every moment, every microsecond of the day. We need God's protection, and we recognize him in everything. I prayed with Rachel and Leland yesterday morning before they left, and this is why I said, "Lord, it is good for us to recognize you in everything." And that's what I'm doing right now. When I was praying, I'm recognizing you. And that this trip needs your blessings upon it. And even their time of fellowship, her with her husband, that time of fellowship for them to be together as a family, to have your blessing on it and your blessing to bring them back safely. I want to recognize God in everything. And I don't want to go about doing things that doesn't give glory to God. I don't want to live in such a way that when people look at that, they can say, "Boy, that's not godly." I want to live in such a way that when they see it, that there's something there that will draw them to the God who I love and serve.
Right.
And that's the way we want to live. But this whole thing is a love relationship. Perfect faith works by love. And it puts you in a spot where you're closed in with Christ and you're just a mystery to the rest of the world. But it puts you into a place where, and I don't have this on my notes, but I'm just going to try to go from memory for what I was listening to when I'm talking about this. But it puts you in a place in walking with God that you enter into a realm where you know that you please God. And now, because I know that every one of us, we're familiar with failures. And so this is one of these things where the preacher has to say anyway, because it's truth. But it puts you into a place of obedience with God. Not just the life within you that says, "Amen," but that has, as time goes on, begins to have more strength, that you actually, in your flesh, you actually are able to meet the challenge more often. You're able to walk more victorious as time goes on. Because of the love that you have, you're able to be more victorious. Like Brother Bram tells about the story about the man who had lived a bad life and he got married, and his wife told him, said, "Honey, I know you've had a rough time in life, and the devil probably tries to hit you all the time with things." And she said, "I want to tell you something, honey. I love you. And I want you to know that if you get out and you fail, you fall to sin, you fall short somehow, I don't want you to stay gone. I want you to come right back here and be with me, and I'll help you get back to God. I'll pray with you until you get back to God."
Yeah.
And he went to work a few days later, and he worked at the boilerplace, and he was sitting around, and he's talking to the guys, probably at lunchtime, how guys do when they eat lunch. And he was sitting there, and he told his buddies about that. And he said, "How could a man ever do anything against something like that? How could I go out and fail and fall short? When that woman loves me like she does, I'm not going to do nothing to hurt that." And that's what Brother Brown said in Marriage and Divorce when he's talking about going overseas. He said, "I don't have to worry about my wife going out with somebody, and she doesn't have to worry about me going out with somebody, because I love her and I wouldn't want to hurt her for nothing in the world."
Right.
So God doesn't loves you. God loves you, and he doesn't want to do anything to hurt you. And he obviously wouldn't. He didn't have a problem with that. But what about our love for him? What about it when our love for him grows to the place that when we are tempted of the devil, something comes along our way and where we might have fallen in the past, but now our love for the Lord Jesus Christ is so strong and we know that he wouldn't cast us away if we did fall, but I wouldn't want to do it or you wouldn't want to do it for nothing in the world because he's beginning to mean so much to me that I don't want to do nothing to hurt him. I don't want to do something that would make more of his blood have to go and cover my sin. I wouldn't want to have any more pain, like Brother Manum said when he was in that little restaurant. And he was all critical about that woman, and he went behind the door. The Lord called him back there, and he saw that vision. And every time he'd make sin, that would come up, and Jesus was a bumper. He said, "That's my sins? Yes, sir." So you get to the place where you say, "Lord, I don't want to do this. I don't want to fall short. I'm not going to go this route no more because your atonement is worth more to me than that." Yeah, you fall short. I fall short. He knows that. He knows that you're but dust as far as that. But he also knows what he put inside you. And he also knows the love that he has for you and the love that's hopefully growing in your heart for him. If my wife, you know, she went here some time ago back when Rachel was living over on the East Coast in Virginia Beach. My wife got on an airplane. She flew over there and visited or whatever. And let's just say that she was over there visiting and we got in a conversation on the phone about something, and we had a big disagreement about something. Absolutely just couldn't come to terms with this and had a total disagreement. And I was totally, completely disappointed in her that she's not thinking the right way or she should on whatever the matter was. And we have a complete disagreement and can't reconcile her over the phone. And she gets on a plane and flies back. Do you think she's got to worry about whether or not I'm going to come over and pick her up at the airport? We just had a bitter disagreement, or she just did something that failed me, something fierce, and I'm thoroughly aggravated. But do you think I'm not going to go pick her up when she lands over there at the airport? You see what I'm saying? You think that he's not going to love you if you make a mistake? Sure he will. But once you realize that economy he's got you in, that we said a while ago, that all the circumstances, would failure be a circumstance? All the circumstances are governed by this love or this faith which worketh by love. So it's like I said last week, you can't get out of the love of God. So if you're in the love of God, you have that channel there of that faith and the word and the love of God, that you have blessings that can come from God that nobody has access to. So this perfect love, perfect faith, it puts you into a place where it brings perfect obedience. And I know that sounds strange. Our failures are not lauded to us. Right? Our failures aren't lauded to us. Not if you're in this situation that I'm talking about. If you're under the blood, it's not lauded to you. But you know, the scripture said that he put in the church apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers for the perfecting the saints, right? Till we grow up into the full measure of the stature of Christ. And so we've had seven church ages, and they've been doing their job, and now here at the end we had a prophet, and now we've come to that place where the bride of Christ is coming up to be equal with Christ. Right? Standing beside him, one with him, united as his bride. Right? To be one with him. And so, and coming to this place of perfect obedience to be one with him where our thoughts are his thoughts. Our desires are his desires. Right. Now let me make sure that I make you sure you understand what I mean by that. I don't mean that what I desire and he's going to change his mind and match with mine. But what I mean is that we've walked with him, we love him so much, we see that he's right, and even though we have all these failures, if we have failures, they're not lauded to us, they're under the blood, he's not going to cast us away, but he's going to continue to woo us and pull us, and we're going to fall in love with him more and more and more, and the more we fall in love with him, the more this perfect faith comes into being, because that love enacts that faith of the word that has been given to us in this hour. and it produces a greater level of obedience in our life to Him. And we reach such the place that we can be just like Jesus, because we now are coming to that place where we're with Him and where He says, Father, I thank You. I know that You hear me. Because I always do the things that are pleasing. If you go listen to Perfect Faith, Brother Brown talks about this. That Jesus already knew that He pleased God. I remember He was one of us, okay? God come down. He got tired like us. But in that humanity, He recognized that need in that position where He knew that He pleased God in all things. And we know that He did, because the voice spake and said, this is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, right? And so He reached that place, or He was in that place. I won't say that He reached it, but He was that place, and He did as a human have to grow to that, to where His Word, when He spoke it, Brother Ram talks about this, that God come along and made sure that everything Jesus said come to pass. You can say, well, He was the Word. I understand, but He's acting out something in flesh so that you might see that you, when you come along in the flesh, you can reach that same point that He was, and that is you can walk with God in such a way that you can say, I always do the things that please My Father, and I know that He hears me, and when I speak, He'll perform what I say. And this is where we're back to the Scripture. Brother Brown said it this way. This brings us right back to this Scripture, that if you ask in faith believing, you're going to have it. Mm-hmm. Now, what am I saying? You're not going to ask for something amiss, right? James talks about people who ask, and they ask amiss, that they may consume it upon their own lust. But once you walk with Him and you love Him and you become one in heart with Him, you're not going to be asking for things that's contrary. And yet it's your thoughts and it's your desires and He honors it. But the key is there that you're walking with Him. I would say that a man and woman who've walked together for years and years to years, husband and wife, that at some point they'll probably figure out exactly what each other are thinking, and they'll know what's right and what's not right with the other half, even if the other half wasn't right there to talk to them about it. Because you walk with each other. So her thoughts becomes the same as His thoughts. She becomes the full stature, word of His word, thought of His thought, action of His action. And Jesus said the same thing. He said, I don't do nothing except what I see the Father do. Now, we're not talking about vision, because Brother Bram said them squirrels came without vision. He didn't see a vision on squirrels. But God told him, speak it. So he had walked with the Lord so long that he could identify this out in front of everybody else. He walked with Him so long that third pool, he moved into that channel, that what Brother Bram said, that's what God performed. Perfect faith. It brings us to perfect obedience, because we're not a different thought than Him. We're not a different word than Him. We're not a different entity than Him. We've become one with Him. This is where we're headed. How? Through the Word. Through the love and the tutorship of this end time message. He's bringing us to this place of this kind of love with Him. And while we make mistakes on our road to coming to that, our failures are not lied to us if we're in that love, in that relationship. To walk with Him, to believe Him, and to love the brethren. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. Listen to what John says. He says, my little children, let us not love in word nor in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive. Does that sound familiar? This is what Jesus said. If you ask believing, and we're coming to a place where then here John is saying, and John's the type of the bride, so the bride just, you know, John would show that we come to this understanding that whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because, why? Because. Now, if the bride's the only one that's going to have access to this, it's because she's the only one that's able to keep His commandments, and I'm not talking about what comes to our mind, like Old Testament stuff or whatever. But whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Okay? So we see John is saying we come to this place where we know that he answers our prayer. Why? Because we're not going to ask something wrong. And because we are walking in a manner that's pleasing to God. I said, well, I don't do that very often. Well, or maybe I don't know if I'd say very often, but you might say, well, I make mistakes or whatever. But your mistakes are not allotted to you if it's under the blood. You repent of it, you pick up and you go on anyway. And this is his commandment. So we know he's going to answer our prayer because we always do that's pleasing to him and we keep his commandments. And here's his commandments. What is it? And this is his commandment that we should what? Believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. Believe the word, right? Everybody agree that would be? Believe the word. Believe that he came flesh. Believe what he's offering to you. Believe the channels of inspiration, the channels of promise that he's given you. To believe those things. And love one another as he gave us commandment. I want to ask you a question. What good would it do if we just walked in total obedience, just with everything God and do, just pleased with him, and we walk with him and we believe him, and it never is manifested out to somebody else? What good would that be? So all of this that God does in us is so that he might project himself, and that love that we have for him and he has for us, we can project that love to our brethren, to those around us. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Amen. That's how we know that we're in Christ Jesus, because he's put that Spirit in our hearts. So, perfect faith, coming to a place in a relationship, personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that you know that you have it. You know that you got something right there you're hanging on to. That no one else may know it. They may not understand it. There's times when I'm at work and the presence of God comes down into my heart, into my presence, and just absolutely tears coming out of my eyes, and I'm sure somebody walked by and go, what is the matter with him? They don't understand. And you could tell them and they wouldn't understand. Unless they are a believer like that and know him in that capacity, they probably wouldn't understand. They don't have to understand. Amen. But I want perfect faith in my life. I want it to rule and reign in my life and to come to the place where it's perfect faith, perfect obedience. I'm not even going to look at, you know, everything's a balance. You know that. I say, I'm not even going to look over here, touch, taste, see, smell here. I'm not going to look at my failures and my mistakes. Well, we do look at them because we want to reach that mark of obedience. But you enter yourself into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ where you trust him in all things. And no matter what comes your way, you trust him. So that means if you fail even more this week than you did last week, or if you do really good, whatever. It doesn't matter. No matter what's happened, it's all governed by this love, by this faith, which worketh by love. Do you believe it?
Amen.
Amen. So, we'll let the musicians come. The Lord's good to us. Amen. We'll just bow our hearts to him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of this service this morning, Lord, realize that the deep and rich things, as Brother Bram said, this message about faith, it's a deep message. And Lord, even he said that he would just touch the top, the highlights of it. And we, the people, would have to dig into it and find out what it's all about. And Lord, it's because that's the kind of thing it is. It's a relationship. And the only way we can truly come to that, Lord, is that we walk with you and we work these things out and communicate with you. And Lord, that's the desire of the believer. We just want to have your mind and your leading on the matter, whatever it may be before us. We trust you, Lord, that you will keep us and you'll take us on as we go down life's way.
Lord, that we will come to this place of perfect faith. Lord, a perfect God, a perfect word, perfect message, and a perfect love for that message in our hearts. Lord, that's where it lays. I ask, God, that you'd help each one of our congregation here this morning, Lord, that you would touch their hearts and help them. Lord, if they're struggling with things, if they're struggling with failures or with not having the faith, Lord, that maybe they would like to have, I ask, God, that you just bless them this morning, Lord, and as they go, Lord, I pray that as they lay on their bed at night waiting to fall asleep, Lord, that their minds would drift away to this that they've heard, and they would meditate upon your word, and Lord, that you would deal with them and help them to see the pathway. Lord, as we feel like this time is drawing close, that each one of us will be summoned. And so, God, we just want to be faithful while we're here. I pray, God, that you just use us. Lord, use me to help your people. We ask it in Jesus' name. Said so many times that the Lord won't disappoint you. Your family will disappoint you. Your friends will disappoint you. Your government will disappoint you. Brother Tony might probably even disappoint you, but that's okay, because Jesus Christ is the only one that holds that spot. It's for him, and I don't try to take it from him. I will disappoint you, I'm sure, from time to time. I'll preach too long or not long enough or whatever. You know, so I don't try to hold that spot, Lord, but I do want you to always look to him. And if you want want perfection, then he's the one it's going to come from. And that's what I want. I want perfect faith, perfect love. And I know that it only comes from him. It comes from walking with him. I trust that you understand that today, that maybe a renewed sense of surrendering to the Lord, all those little special times and special things and special ways that you just surrender to him and walk with him. And just find something this week. Find something in your life this week that maybe perhaps it's not something that you've really thought about it, but you can look at that and say, you know, I can glorify God in that. And I haven't necessarily been, but I can do that and do that. Choose to sanctify things and times and places and opportunities and conversations. Sanctify them and say, Lord, I'm going to take that and I'm going to lay it out there as a sanctified moment for you, that I may give glory to you, that I may give honor to you, that others might see you. Amen. And I'm sure that if you do that, you'll see a significant thank you from the Lord, blessing from him, because he inhabits the praises of his people. Mm-hmm. And I just want to ask you to remember, as Brother Daniel mentioned in prayer, the situation with the church building coming up. Of course, auction date is August 5th. That's some time away. April. Thank you. April 5th. As long as it's not April 1st. April 5th. The Lord does things. He works things around, and you don't have to know how he's going to do things. But we just commit ourselves to him, and so we just ask that you don't be like America, who now that they fought and they prayed and they wanted to get somebody that was going to make a difference, and now that person's in office, they went to sleep and quit praying. Don't do like that. Let's keep praying. Keep holding it before the Lord and say, Lord, we want your perfect will in these matters. And also, just remember the services next week. Just be praying. Invite different people. I know Brother Tim had posted Facebook invite. I invited different ones. And so just pray that the Lord would provide us a time of fellowship around his word. And I believe even the bride can have little mini revivals. We're in a revival. It's the revival of the word. But even with that, we can have little special times in the Lord, with the Lord and with each other, where we are like, Brother Van Black said, like those little eaglets out there when that mama eagle took them down there and landed them out on the plane, and they were all just out there jumping, and he said they were having a revival. We can be like that, just in the presence of our Lord. You know, there might be all kinds of dangers all around, but we're just having a good time in the presence of the Lord. He can take care of all that stuff. He's the great mama eagle who watches over his people. So, you know, I know he wants us to be on guard and those sorts of things, but even yet with all that and with all the things in the world, as heavy as it is and just so gloomy out there, we can walk in the blessings and the light of the Lord and joy of the Lord from day in and day out, knowing that no matter what happens, he takes care of us. Amen?
Amen.
We want to believe it that way, because that's the way it is. Amen. So God bless you. We'll let you be dismissed as we sing another worship song.
Mercy.